Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Meg. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. Ready for another poem this week?
Yes, we're going to make Wilford Brimley unhappy.
Okay. That's not our intention, but we are going to talk about our old friend diabetes here, going back and revisiting something that was the gospel when I was in medical school, and that is making sure that patients did their finger sticks and monitored themselves at home many times a day, and those that didn't do that, we labeled as non-compliant. More recently, we would call them non-adherent, you know, attribute their poor outcomes to the fact that they didn't do the self-monitoring. Well, the self-monitoring has sort of fallen on controversial times. There is still a little bit of evidence talking about the effectiveness of self-monitoring, that is monitoring blood glucose on control. A consensus statement from the American Diabetes Association suggests that self-monitoring is not usually needed for regimens that do not include the use of sulfonylureas, in other words, are less likely to cause hypoglycemia, although they also say that self-monitoring may be helpful to see whether therapeutic blood glucose targets have been achieved. They also suggest that it might be useful in people that are taking sulfonylureas. It might be useful at certain times of a person's illness if they do get sick. It also might be useful after the clinician changes a treatment. And it also provides a little bit of benefit, perhaps, if regular hemoglobin A1C testing is not possible. Despite all of these possible benefits, the study that you're going to walk us through, Mark, asks the question, does self-monitoring of blood glucose improve blood sugar control in patients with newly diagnosed type 2 diabetes? In other words, when we've got someone, we've just diagnosed them as having diabetes, is there some advantage that we can get from having them monitor their blood glucose? What did the study authors find?
Well, it's a very nice study, and there have been others like it that we'll also discuss later. But this was an Irish study, and they identified 184 consecutive adults, as you said, with newly diagnosed type 2 diabetes, and they were sent to a diabetes clinic in Ireland. And their average age was 60 years, and they had a mean hemoglobin A1C of 8.7% when they got into the study. And these patients were randomized to either encourage self-monitoring of blood glucose or no self-monitoring. Those in the monitoring group were told to check at least 4 fasting and 4 postprandial measurements per week, and then they were told how to respond to high or low reading. They checked, and about two-thirds of the patients performed at least 80% of these readings during the study period. Patients in the no self-monitoring group were told to not purchase a meter. And again, that's going to make Wilford Brimley very unhappy. I don't, that was lost on some of the audience. He's the guy that's flogging diabetes test strips and meters on late-night television for the past 15 years. Patients were monitored every 3 months and had identical treatment plans that started with metformin. The average A1C did drop in both groups, but dropped by the same amount, and they both ended up at 6.9% at the end of a year. There was no difference in A1Cs at any of the three-month visits. The study was powered to find a 1% difference in A1C if it existed. Hypoglycemic events occurred with equal frequency in both groups. And they also took an additional step of using a questionnaire designed for diabetics that measured depression, anxiety, energy, and a sense of positive well-being. And patients in the self-monitoring group had significantly worse depression scores and a trend toward worse anxiety scores. So the bottom line is that self-monitoring of blood glucose by newly diagnosed type 2 diabetics did not improve their glucose control compared with those who did not self-monitor, and they had similar numbers of hypoglycemic events, and those that self-monitored appeared to have worse depression scores.
You know, I can't help asking myself why this is so hard for we primary care doctors to give up. I mean, this literature isn't new, is it? I mean, this is another study that suggests that perhaps self-monitoring isn't that useful. This is the first one that I've seen that's actually looked at the emotional impact. But why, I mean, I know when I give talks around the country on diabetes and this comes up, you know, it just doctors are really hesitant to let go of self-monitoring.
Yeah, it's really puzzling to me because certainly there are technologies that we have been too slow to embrace and drugs too slow to embrace and others that we seem to just have a hard time giving up. And, you know, part of it is that patients will get this reinforced, certainly in the nursing literature and the nurse educators and the diabetes educators. It is still gospel for many of them to teach self-monitoring. And, you know, frankly, a big part of what they do would go away if they didn't have to teach people how to self-monitor and prick themselves and so on and so forth. So there's sort of a vested interest almost in maintaining that. And you've got a big industry to sell monitors and to sell test strips. Those are the razor blades of healthcare. You know, they give away the monitor and then they're selling these expensive test strips. So, you know, there are some non-medical factors that I think are driving people. And some people, you know, let's say there are some people who just are going to feel better if they know what their sugar is, whether or not it helps their blood sugar. You know, there are probably some people who do feel better. I think what this teaches us is that there's also a big group that feels worse if we make them miserable with their blood sugars, and that we're doing some harm. There was another study in the same issue of BMJ found the same thing, and that it negatively impacted quality of life. So I think the evidence is pretty clear.
Well, good. We'll continue to follow the diabetes story. I appreciate you taking the time to walk us through the study, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Great talking to you, Mike. Take care.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, bye-bye.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.